trials which we must expect to have in the religious life. When then anyone has thus entered religion, however truly he may be called, and though he may have conquered all his passions and his earthly affections, let him not imagine that he will be exempt from other temptations and trials which God himself will send him, such as tediousness, darkness, various fears, in order to establish him more firmly in his vocation. We must remember that even the saints who have loved their vocation the most have sometimes suffered great darkness with regard to it, and that it seemed to them as if they were deceived and would not be able to save themselves in that state. So it happened with Saint Teresa, Saint John of the Cross, the Venerable Mother Frances de Chantal. But by recommending themselves to God, that darkness was dissipated, and they recovered their peace of mind. Thus the Lord tries his most beloved children, as it was said to Tobias, "Because thou wast acceptable to God, it was necessary that temptation should prove thee." And in the book of Deuteronomy, "The Lord your God trieth you, that it may appear whether you love him or not." Let each one therefore prepare himself to suffer in religion this obscurity. It will sometimes appear to him that he cannot bear the observance of the order, that he will have no more peace of mind, or will not even be able to save himself. But most of all, everyone must be on his guard when the temptation presents specious scruples or pretexts of greater spiritual good in order to make him abandon his vocation. The principal remedies in such temptations are two in number. First, remedy, to have recourse to God. The first is prayer. "Go ye to him and be enlightened." For as it will not be possible for temptation to overcome him who has recourse to prayer, so he who does not recommend himself to God will surely be overcome by it. And let it be remarked that sometimes it will not suffice to have recourse to God once, or for a few days, to become victorious. Perhaps the Lord will permit the temptation to continue, even after we have prayed for several weeks, months, or even years. But let us be assured that he who ceases not to recommend himself to God will certainly be enlightened and victorious, and thereafter he will have more peace and be more firm in his vocation. Until we have gone through that storm, which for the most part comes over all, let none of us think himself secure. Let us be persuaded, however, that in this time of temptation we ought not to expect a fervor and a clearness of reason sufficient to tranquilize ourselves, for in the midst of this darkness we see nothing but confusion. We have nothing then to do but to say to the Lord, "Our Lord, help me. Lord, help me." And also to have frequently recourse to Most Holy Mary, who is the mother of perseverance, confiding in that divine promise, "Ask and you shall receive." And it is certain that he who with the help of divine grace is victorious in such a combat finds afterwards a double calm and peace in his vocation. Second remedy, to have recourse to the superiors. The second remedy, and a principal and necessary one in such temptations, is to communicate to the superiors, or to the spiritual father of the community, the temptation which afflicts you, and this at once before the temptation becomes strong. Saint Philip Neri said that when a temptation is thus manifested, it is half vanquished. On the contrary, there is in such a case no greater evil than to conceal the temptation from superiors. For then, on the one hand, God withdraws his light because of the little fidelity shown by the subject in not disclosing it, and on the other, whilst the mind is not sprung, the temptation gains strength. Whence it may be held for certain that he will surely lose his vocation, who, when he is tempted against it, does not disclose his temptations. And let it be understood that in religion, the most dangerous temptations that hell can bring against a subject are those against vocation, in which, if he should succeed and conquer, by that one stroke it will have gained many victories. For when a subject has lost his vocation and left religion, what good will he any more be able to do in the service of God? Though the enemy may make him believe that out of religion he will have more peace and be able to do more good, nevertheless, let him hold for certain that as soon as he is out of it, he will feel such a remorse in his heart that he will never more have peace. And God grant that such a remorse may not torment him afterwards through all eternity into hell, into which, as has already been said, he who through his own fault loses his vocation falls so very easily. He will be so lukewarm and discouraged in doing good that he will not even have the courage to raise his eyes to heaven. It will be an easy thing for him to give up prayer altogether, because as often as he begins, he will feel a hell of remorse, hearing his conscience reproach him and saying, "What hast thou done? Thou hast abandoned God, thou hast lost thy vocation, and for what? To follow thine own caprice, to please thy parents?" Let him be certain that he will have to hear this reproach through his whole life, and still more shall he hear it made to him at the hour of his death, when in sight of eternity, instead of dying in the house of God, and in the midst of good brethren in religion, he will have to die outside of the community, perhaps in his own house, in the midst of his relatives, to please whom he has displeased God. Let religious always beseech God to let them die rather than to permit that greatest of disgraces, the greatness of which they will better understand at the point of death, and to their greater torment, because then there will be no more any remedy for their error. For him, then, who is tempted against his vocation, this is the best meditation he can make in the time of the temptation, namely to reflect what torment the remorse of having lost his vocation and of having to die outside of religion through his own caprice, through his own fault, will cause him at the hour of death. Finally, in conclusion, let him who wishes to enter religion not forget to resolve to become a saint, and to suffer every exterior and interior pain in order to be faithful to God and not to lose his vocation. And if he be not resolved to this, I exhort him not to deceive the superiors and himself, and not to enter at all, for this is a sign that he is not called, or, which is a still greater evil, that he wishes not to correspond as he ought with the grace of his vocation. Hence, with so bad a disposition, it is better to remain without, in order to acquire a better disposition, to resolve to give himself entirely to God and to suffer all for God. Otherwise, he will do an injury both to himself and to the order, for he will easily go back to the world, and then, being disgraced before the world as well as before God, he will be guilty of a still further infidelity to his vocation and will lose the confidence in the power of taking another step in the way of God. God only knows into what other misfortunes and sins he may afterwards fall. On the other hand, a beautiful sight it is to see in religion souls wholly given to God, who live in the world as if out of the world, without any other thought than that of pleasing God. In religion, each one has to live only for eternal life. What happiness for us if we spend these few days of our life for God. And to this he is most especially obliged who has perhaps already spent much of his life in the service of the world. Let us set eternity before our eyes, and then we shall suffer all with peace and joyfulness. Let us thank God who gives us so much light and so many means to serve him perfectly, since he has chosen us from among so many to serve him in religion, having bestowed on us the gift of his holy love. Let us make haste to please him in the practice of virtue, reflecting that, as Saint Teresa said to her daughters, we have already by this grace done the principal thing necessary to become saints, by turning our backs on the world and all its goods. The least yet remains to be done, and we shall be saints. I hold it for certain that for those who die in religion, Jesus Christ has prepared a prominent place in paradise. On this earth we shall be poor, despised, and treated as fools, as imprudent men, but in the other life our lot will be changed. Let us always recommend ourselves to our Redeemer hidden in the sacrament, and to Most Holy Mary, because in religion all subjects must profess a most special love for Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament and for the Immaculate Virgin Mary, and let us have great confidence. Jesus Christ has chosen us to be princes of his court, as we may confidently conclude from the protection he extends to all religious orders and to each member of them. The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? O Lord, I finish thy work, and for thy glory grant us to be all thine, so that all the members of thy orders may until the day of judgment be pleasing to thee and gain over to thee an immense number of souls. Amen. Amen. Considerations for those who are called to the religious state. How the salvation of the soul is secured by entering the religious state. To know how important is the eternal salvation of our soul, it suffices to have faith and to consider that we have but one soul, and when that is lost, all is lost. What does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and suffer the loss of his soul? This great maxim of the gospel has induced many youths either to shut themselves up in cloisters, or to live in deserts, or by martyrdom to give up their lives for Jesus Christ. For, said they, what does it profit us to possess the whole world and all the goods of this world in this present life, which must soon finish, and then be damned and be miserable in that life to come, which will never end? All those rich men, all those princes and emperors who are now in hell, what have they now of all they enjoyed in this life but a greater torment and a greater despair? Miserable beings, they lament now and say, all those things are past like shadows. For them, all is past like a shadow, like a dream. And that lamentation which is their lot has lasted already many years and shall last throughout all eternity. The fashion of this world passeth away. This world is a scene which lasts but a short time. Happy he who plays on this scene that part which will afterwards make him happy in the life which will never end. When he shall then be contented, honored, and a prince in paradise, so long as God shall be God, little will he care for having been in this world poor, despised, and in tribulation. For this end alone has God placed us on this earth and keeps us here in life, not to acquire transitory but eternal goods. The end is life everlasting. This is the sole end which all men who live in the world ought to have in view. But the misfortune is that in the world one thinks little or nothing of everlasting life. In the midst of the darkness of this Egypt, the greatest number of men bestow all their care on acquiring honor and pleasures. And this is the reason why so many perish. With desolation is all the land made desolate, because there is none that considereth this in his heart. How few are they who reflect on death, by which for us the scene is closed, on the eternity which awaits us, on what God has done for our sake. And thence it comes that these miserable beings live in blindness and at random, far from God, having their eyes like the beasts intent only on earthly things, without remembering God, without desiring his love, and without a thought of eternity. Therefore they die afterwards an unhappy death, which will be the beginning of an eternal death and an endless misery. Having arrived there, they will open their eyes, but it will be only to lament for their own foolishness. This is the great means of salvation which is found in religion, to wit, the continual meditation on the eternal truths. Remember thy last end, and thou shalt never sin. In all well-regulated religious houses, this is done every day, and even several times a day. And therefore, in this light of divine things, which there shines continually, it is morally impossible to live, at least for a long time, far from God, and without keeping one's account ready for eternity. A prayer. O my God, how have I ever deserved this great mercy, that having left so many others to live in the midst of the world, Thou hast willed to call me, who have offended thee more than others, and deserved more than they to be deprived of thy divine light, to enjoy the honor of living as a friend in thine own house. O Lord, grant that I may understand this exceeding grace which thou hast bestowed on me, that I may always thank thee for it, as I purpose and hope to do always during my life and throughout eternity. And do not permit me to be ungrateful for it. Since thou hast been so liberal towards me, and hast in thy love preferred me to others, it is but just that more than others I should serve and love thee. O my Jesus, thou wouldst have me to be wholly thine, and I give myself wholly. Accept me, and henceforward keep me as thy own, since I am no more mine. Finish thou the work which thou hast begun. Thou hast called me to thy house because thou wilt have me become a saint. Make me then what thou wilt have me. Do it, O eternal Father, for the love of Jesus Christ, in whom is all my confidence. I love thee, my sovereign good, I love thee. O infinite goodness, I love thee alone and will love thee forever. O Mary, my hope, come to my assistance and obtain for me to be always faithful and thankful to my Lord. On the happy death of the religious. Happy are the dead who die in the Lord. And who are those blessed dead who die in the Lord but the religious, who at the end of their lives are found already dead to the world, having already detached themselves by their holy vows from the world and all its goods. Consider, my brother, how content you will feel if, following your vocation, it will be your good fortune to die in the house of God. The devil will certainly represent to you that if you retire into the house of God, you may perhaps afterward repent of having left your own house and your own country, and deprived your parents of that succor which they might have expected from you. But say to yourself, shall I, at the point of death, repent of having put my resolution in execution, or shall I be content? I beseech you, therefore, to imagine yourself now already at the point of death, about to appear before the tribunal of Jesus Christ. Reflect what then, reduced to that state, you would wish to have done. Perhaps to have contented your parents, to have worked for your own family or your country, and then to die surrounded by brothers and nephews and relatives, after having lived in your own house with the title of pastor, of canon, of bishop, of a member of the cabinet, and after having done your own will, or rather to die in the house of God, assisted by your good brethren in religion, who encourage you on the great passage to eternity, after having lived many years in religion, humbled, mortified, poor, far from parents, deprived of your own will, and under obedience, and detached from everything in the world. All these things render death sweet and agreeable. He who has been accustomed to deprive himself of the delights of the world, says Saint Bernard, will not regret having done so when he has to leave it. Pope Honorius II, when dying, wished that he had remained in his monastery, occupied in washing the plates, and had not been pope. Philip II wished at his death that he had been a lay brother in some religious order, intent on serving God, and had not been a king. Philip III, also king of Spain, said when he was dying, "Oh, that I had been in a desert, there to serve God, and that I had never been a monarch. For had such been the case, I should now appear with more confidence before the tribunal of Jesus Christ." When then hell tempts you about your vocation, think of the hour of death, and set before your eyes that all-important moment upon which eternity depends. Thus you will overcome all temptations. You will be faithful to God, and certainly you will not repent of it at the point of death, but will give thanks to the Lord and die contented. Gerard, brother of Saint Bernard, died singing at the very thought of dying in the house of God. Father Suarez of the Company of Jesus felt at his death so great consolation and sweetness at dying in religion that he said, "I never thought it was so sweet to die." Another good religious of the same society, when at the point of death, laughed, and being asked why he laughed, answered, "And why should I not laugh? Has not Jesus Christ himself promised paradise to him who leaves everything for his sake? Was it not he who said, 'Everyone that has left house or brethren or father, etc., shall receive 100-fold and shall possess life everlasting'? I have left all for God. God is faithful. He cannot fail to fulfill his promises. And so," he said, "why should I not rejoice and laugh, seeing myself assured of paradise?" A certain lay brother who died some years ago was asked at his death in which house he would rather be. He answered, "I desire nothing but to die and to be united with God." Father Gennarius Cernelli, a short time before his death, when conversing with God, uttered the following words, "O Lord, thou knowest that I will have done. All I have thought has been for thy glory. Now I wish to go to see thee face to face, if it please thee so." Then he said, "Come, I will begin a sweet agony," and began to converse affectionately with God, and shortly after placidly expired, preserving the smile on his lips, and the body began to give forth a sweet odor, which, as they attested, was perceived for several days in the room in which he had died. Saint Bernard, then speaking of the happy state of religious, had good reason to exclaim, "O secure life, in which death is expected without fear, I sweetly desired and devoutly accepted." A prayer. O my Lord Jesus Christ, who in order to obtain a happy death for me, hast chosen so bitter a death for thyself, since thou hast loved me to such an extent as to have chosen me to follow more closely thy holy life, to have me thus more intimately united with thy loving heart, bind me, I beseech thee, wholly to thee with the sweet cords of thy love, that I may no more separate myself from thee. O my beloved Redeemer, I wish to be grateful to thee and to correspond with thy grace, but I fear my weakness may render me unfaithful. O my Jesus, do not permit this. Let me die rather than abandon thee or forget the peculiar affection thou hast shown to me. I love thee, O my dear Savior. Thou art and shalt always be the only Lord of my heart and my soul. I leave all and choose thee alone for my treasure. O most pure Lamb of God, O most ardent lover, my beloved is white and ruddy, chosen out of thousands. Be gone, ye creatures, my only good is my God, he is my love, my all. I love thee, O my Jesus, and in loving thee I will spend the remainder of my life, be it short or be it long. I embrace thee, I press thee to my heart, and I wish to die united with thee. I wish nothing else. Make me live always burning with thy love, and when I shall have arrived at the end of my life, make me to expire in an ardent act of love towards thee. Immaculate Virgin Mary, obtain thou this grace for me. I hope it from thee. The account which he will have to render to Jesus Christ on the day of judgment, who does not follow his vocation. The grace of vocation to the religious state is not an ordinary grace. It is a very rare one, which God grants only to a few. He hath not done so to every nation. Oh, how much greater is this grace to be called to a perfect life and to become one of the household of God than if one were called to be the king of any kingdom on this earth. For what comparison can there be between a temporal kingdom of this earth and the eternal kingdom of heaven? But the greater the grace is, the greater will be the indignation of the Lord against him who has not corresponded with it, and the more rigorous will be his judgment at the day of account. If a king were to call a poor shepherd to his royal palace to serve him among the noblemen of his court, what would not be the indignation of this king were he to refuse such a favor through unwillingness to leave his miserable stable and his little flock? God knows well the value of his graces, and therefore he chastises with severity those who despise them. He is the Lord. When he calls, he wishes to be obeyed and obeyed promptly. When therefore, by his inspiration, he calls a soul to a perfect life, if it does not correspond, he deprives it of his light and abandons it to its own darkness. Oh, how many poor souls shall we see among the reprobate on the day of judgment for this very reason, that they were called and would not correspond. Give thanks then to the Lord who has invited you to follow him. But if you do not correspond, fear. Since God calls you to serve him nearer to his person, it is a sign that he wishes to save you. But he will have you to be saved in that path only which he indicates to you and has chosen for you. If you wish to save yourself on the road of your own choosing, there is great danger that you will not be saved at all. For if you remain in the world, when God wishes you to be a religious, he will not give you those efficacious helps prepared for you that you lived in his house, and without these you will not save yourself. My sheep, hear my voice. He who will not obey the voice of God shows that he is not and will not be one of his sheep, but in the valley of Josaphat he will be condemned with the goats. A prayer. O Lord, thou hast shown me such an excess of bounty as to choose me from among so many others to serve thee in thy own house with thy most beloved servants. I know how great is that grace and how unworthy of it I have been. Behold, I am willing to correspond to so great a love. I will obey thee. Since thou hast been towards me so liberal as to call me when I did not seek thee, and when I was so ungrateful, permit it not that I should suffer to thee that great excess of ingratitude to embrace again my enemy, the world, in which heretofore I have so oftentimes forfeited thy grace and my eternal salvation, and thus to forsake thee who has shed thy blood and given thy life for my sake. Since thou hast called me, give me also the strength to correspond to the call. Already have I promised to obey thee. I promise it again, but without the grace of perseverance I cannot be faithful to thee. This perseverance I ask from thee, and through thy own merits it is that I wish it and hope to obtain it. Give me the courage to vanquish the passions of the flesh, through which the devil seeks to induce me to betray thee. I love thee, O my Jesus. To thee I consecrate myself entirely. I am already thine. I will be always thine. O Mary, my mother and my hope, thou art the mother of perseverance. This grace is only dispensed through thy hands. Do thou obtain it for me. In thee do I confide. The torment which in hell will be the lot of him who is damned for having lost his vocation. The pain of having, through one's own fault, lost some great good, or of having brought upon oneself voluntarily some great evil, is a pain so great that even in this life it causes an insupportable torment. But what torment will that youth, called by the singular favor of God to the religious state, feel in hell when he then perceives that if he had obeyed God, he would have attained a high place in paradise, and sees himself nevertheless confined in that prison of torments, without hope or remedy of this his eternal ruin. Their worm dieth not. This will be that worm which, living always, will always gnaw his heart by a continual remorse. He will say then, what a fool I was. I might have become a great saint, and if I had obeyed, I would certainly have become so, and now I am damned without remedy. Miserable being! Then for his greater torment, on the day of judgment, he will see and recognize at the right hand the crowned as saints, those who have followed their vocation, and leaving the world have retired to the house of God, to which he also had been once called. And then will he see himself separated from the company of the blessed, and placed in the midst of that innumerable and miserable crew of the damned for his disobedience to the voice of God. We know well, as we have considered above, that to this most unhappy lot he exposes himself, who in order to follow his own caprice turns a deaf ear to the call of God. Therefore, my brother, you who have already been called to become a saint in the house of God, consider that you will expose yourself to a great danger should you lose your vocation through your own fault. Consider that this very vocation which God in his sovereign bounty has given you, in order, as it were, to take you out from among the populace and place you among the chosen princes of his paradise, will, through your own fault, should you be unfaithful to it, become an especial hell for you. Make your choice, then, for God leaves it in your own hands, either to be a great king in paradise or a reprobate in hell, more despairing than the rest. A prayer. No, my God, permit me not to disobey thee and to be unfaithful. I see thy goodness and thank thee for that instead of casting me away from thy face and banishing me into hell, as I have so often deserved. Thou callest me to become a saint and preparest for me a high place in paradise. I see that I should deserve a double torment should I not correspond with this grace which is not given to all. I will obey thee. Behold, I am thine and always will be thine. I embrace with joy all the pains and discomforts of the religious life to which you invitest me. And what are these pains in comparison with the eternal pains which I have deserved? I was entirely lost through my sins. Now I give myself entirely to thee. Dispose of me and my life as thou pleasest. Accept, O Lord, of one already condemned to hell as I have been, to serve thee and love thee in this life and in the next. I will love thee as much as I have deserved to be doomed to hate thee in hell, O God, worthy of an infinite love. O my Jesus, thou hast broken those chains by which the world held me bound. Thou hast delivered me from the servitude of my enemies. I will love thee much then, O my love, and for the love I bear thee, I will always love thee and obey thee. Always will I thank thee, O Mary, my advocate, who hast obtained this mercy for me. Help me and suffer me not to be ungrateful to that God who has loved me so much. Obtain for me that I may die rather than be unfaithful to so great a grace. Thus I hope. The immense glory which religious enjoy in heaven. Consider in the first place that which Saint Bernard says, that it is difficult for religious who die in their religious state to be damned. From the cell to heaven, the way is easy. One scarcely ever descends from this cell into hell. And the reason which the saint adduces is because one scarcely ever perseveres in it until death, unless he be predestinated. For a religious with difficulty perseveres until his death, if he be not of the number of the elect of paradise. Therefore, St. Lawrence Justinian called a religious state the gate of paradise. Of that heavenly city, this is the gate. And he said that therefore the religious have a great sign of their predestination. Consider, moreover, that the reward of heaven, as the apostle says, is a crown of justice. Wherefore God, though he rewards us for our works more abundantly than we deserve, rewards us nevertheless in proportion to the works we have done. He will render to everyone according to his works. From this consider how exceedingly great will be the reward which God will give in heaven to good religious, in consideration of the great merits they daily acquire. The religious gives to God all his goods of this earth, and is content to be entirely poor without possessing anything. The religious renounces all attachments to his parents, friends, and country, in order to unite himself more closely to God. The religious continually mortifies himself in many things which he would enjoy in the world. The religious finally gives to God his whole self by giving him his will through the vow of obedience. But the dearest thing that we have is our own will, and what God, of all other things, requires of us most is our heart, that is to say, our will. My son, give me thy heart. He who serves God in the world will give him his possessions, but not himself. He will give him a part and not the whole. For he will give him indeed his goods by alms, deeds his food by fasting, his blood by disciplines, etc. But he will always reserve for himself his own will, fasting when he pleases, praying when he likes. But the religious, giving him his own will, gives himself and gives all, gives not only the fruits of the tree, but the whole tree itself. Whence he may then truly say to him, O Lord, having given thee my will, I have nothing more to give to thee. And therefore, in all that he does through obedience, he is sure to do the will of God perfectly, and merits by all, not only when he prays, when he hears confessions, when he preaches or fasts or practices other mortifications, but also when he takes his food, when he sweeps his room, when he makes his bed, when he takes his rest, when he recreates himself, for doing all this through obedience, in all he does the will of God. St. Mary Magdalene de Pazzi said that all that is done through obedience is a prayer. Hence, St. Anselm, speaking of those who love obedience, asserted that all that religious do is meritorious for them. St. Aloysius Gonzaga said that in religion one sails, as it were, in a vessel in which he even advances who does not row. Oh, how much more will a religious gain in 1 month by observing his rule than a secular, with all his penchant and prayers, in a year. Of that disciple of Dorotheus called Dosthius, it was revealed that for the 5 years he had lived under obedience, there was given to him in heaven the glory of St. Paul the Hermit and of St. Anthony the Abbot, both of whom had for so many years lived in the desert. Religious, it is true, have to suffer the inconveniences of regular observance. Going, they went and wept. But when are they called to the other life, they will go to heaven. But coming, they shall come with joyfulness, carrying their sheaves. Whence they shall then sing, the lines are fallen unto me in goodly places, for my inheritance is goodly to me. These bonds which have bound me to the Lord have become for me exceedingly precious, and the glory they have acquired for me is exceedingly great. A prayer. Is it possible, O my God and my true lover, that thou desirest so much my good, and to be loved by me, and that I, miserable that I am, desire so little to love and to please thee? For what end hast thou favored me with so many graces and taken me out of the world? O my Jesus, I understand thee. Thou lovest me much. Thou wilt have me love thee much also, and be all thine in this life and in the next. Thou wishest that my love should not be divided with creatures, but wilt have it be wholly for thyself, the only good, the only lovely one, and worthy of infinite love. Ah, my Lord, my treasure, my love, my all, yet I pant and truly desire to love thee, and to love no other but thee. I thank thee for this desire thou hast given me. Preserve it in me, always increase it in me, and grant that I may please thee and love thee on this earth as thou desirest, so that I may come hereafter to love thee face to face with all my strength in paradise. Behold, this is all that I ask from thee. Thee will I love, O my God. I will love thee, and for thy love I will offer myself to suffer every pain. I will become a saint, not that I may enjoy great delight in heaven, but to please thee much, O my beloved Lord, and to love thee much forever. Graciously hear me, O eternal Father, for the love of Jesus Christ. My Mother Mary, for the love of this thy Son, help thou me. Thou art my hope. From thee I hope every good. The interior peace that God gives good religious to enjoy. The promises of God cannot fail. God has said, everyone that has left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall possess life everlasting. That is the hundredfold on this earth and life everlasting in heaven. The peace of the soul is a good which is of greater value than all the kingdoms of the world. And what avails it to have dominions of the whole world without interior peace? Better is it to be the poorest villager and to be content than to be the lord of the whole world and to live a discontented life. But who can give this peace? The unquiet world? Oh no, peace is a good that is obtained only from God. O God, praise the church, give to thy servants that peace which the world cannot give. Therefore he is called the God of all consolation. But if God be the sole giver of peace, to whom shall we suppose will he give that peace, but to those who leave all and detach themselves from all creatures, in order to give themselves entirely to their Creator? And therefore is it seen that good religious shut up in their cells, though mortified, despised, and poor, live a more contented life than the great ones of the world, with all the riches, the pomp, and the diversions they enjoy. Saint Scholastica said that if men knew the peace that good religious enjoy, the whole world would become a monastery. And Saint Mary Magdalene of Pazzi said that all, if they knew it, would scale the walls of the monasteries in order to get into them. The human heart, having been created for an infinite good, all creatures cannot content it, they being finite, imperfect, and few. God alone, who is an infinite good, can render it content. Delight in the Lord, and he will give thee the request of thy heart. Oh no, a good religious, united with God, envies none of the princes of the world who possess kingdoms, riches, and honors. Let the rich, he will say with St. Paulinus, have their riches. The kings have their kingdoms. To me, Christ is my kingdom and my glory. He will see those of the world foolishly glory in their displays and vanities, but he, seeking always to detach himself more from earthly things, always to unite himself more closely to his God, will live contented in this life and will say, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will call upon the name of the Lord our God. Saint Teresa said that one drop of heavenly consolation is of greater value than all the pleasures of the world. Father Charles of Lorraine, having become a religious, said that God, by one moment of the happiness that he gave him to feel in religion, superabundantly paid him for all that he had left for God. Hence his joyfulness was sometimes so great that when alone in his cell, he could not help beginning to leap. The blessed Serafino of Ascoli, a Capuchin lay brother, said that he would not exchange a foot length of his cord for all the kingdoms of the world. Oh, what contentment does he find who, having left all for God, is able to say with St. Francis, my God and my all, and with that to see himself freed from the servitude of the world, from the thraldom of worldly fashion, and from all earthly affections. This is the liberty that is enjoyed by the children of God, such as good religious are. It is true that in the beginning, the deprivation of the conversations and pastimes of the world, the observances of the community and the rules seem to be thorns. But these thorns, as our Lord said to St. Bridget, will all become flowers and delights to him who courageously bears their first sting. And he will taste on this earth that peace which, as St. Paul says, surpasseth all the gratifications of the senses and all the enjoyments of feasts, of banquets, and of the pleasures of the world. The peace of God, which surpasseth all understanding, and what greater peace can there be than to know that one pleases God? Please fast forward and go to side B.